Do you know how many pounds of waste the average American sends to the landfill every day? How does that number translate to our lifetimes? Numbers that may just surprise you, and taking a closer look at our traditional three sustainability R's, reduce, reuse, recycle, we have it all and more on today's podcast. And I'm very excited and I thank you for joining us. I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and this is Down to Earth Tucson with Mrs. Green. And I'm not just excited about the content. I'm very excited to have two truly amazing and passionate planet preservers joining me today. But before I welcome them, I want to give a warm, sincere shout out to the City of Tucson, Department of Environmental and General Services, who are not only doing great work on behalf of all of us living in this community, but they are great partners with Mrs. Green's World, and we really appreciate that. So thank you so much for your support and for being great partners. And I had to do that shout out. So now please join me in welcoming Kendra Hall, Public Information Specialist at the City of Tucson, and Claire Kaufman, Southern Arizona Sustainability Program Manager and Circular Economy Advocate for Local First Arizona. And they are really going to take us on a deep dive, no pun intended. We're not going to be diving into the landfills literally, but into living a low waste life and really taking a much closer look at the three R's. And I try to remind people the first R is reduce. And I honestly can't think of two people who can share more with us about the waste stream than you two. So thanks for taking the time to be here today. And let's have some fun and educate people.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, let's start with Kendra. Why are we advocating or living low waste? Why are you so behind this concept?
Yeah, so of course, I work for the City of Tucson Environmental Services Department. So obviously, we want people to recycle. We focus on recycling. We focus on waste diversion. But an important thing that we're really trying to push lately is reduce and reuse first. Before the China's ban, we'll get into this a little bit later, but before China's ban on recyclables, it was a lot different. We told people to recycle all kinds of different things. Things didn't need to be that clean. It wasn't as important what you recycle. Now, the markets aren't as strong as they once were. So we're really trying to get people to focus on reducing, reusing first, and that last option being recycling. And I've worked with the city for a little bit over a year now. And just in my time working with the city, I've made personal changes to live a low waste lifestyle. And it's been great.
Okay, Claire, you're kind of the poster child for a lot of good things when it comes to the environment. And I say that with the highest of praise. So why are you so into a low-waste living?
Thank you. I'd say that I think it started, honestly, from being a little kid growing up in LA and just being really sad every time I went to the beach and noticing how much trash there was, not really understanding it. So I was always into that. I studied environmental economics in college, And right as I was finishing my environmental economics degree, I kind of had this thought about the fact that, like, I care about this so much, but I didn't know if it really was, if my lifestyle was really aligning with my values. I mean, I was still, I had a reusable water bottle and all that, but I wasn't really making that much of a conscious effort or thinking about what I was throwing away. And I had met someone who was. So right after I graduated, I spent a month and did a little challenge to see if I could generate zero waste in that month. And it was a really fascinating...
How'd it go?
It was a really fascinating experience. I did really well, but I had to live a very different life. So I every time I'd go out with friends back in the time when you could go out way pre-COVID... I brought all my reusables, and if they didn't want to let me fill up things in reusable containers, I wouldn't get food. I always had to be really careful about if I was getting food at a restaurant, I'd say, like, is your silverware reusable or is it plastic? And if it's plastic, I have my own. And I would do other things, just like making sure I found all these places where I could refill different things, refill my shampoos. And I think it kind of forced me to look into all the ways that I was producing waste, and realize what I was throwing away a lot. And it just gave me a lot of insight also into like how challenging it is to not produce waste in the way that our society kind of puts waste out there for you to consume so often. So I would
say
that's
a really good answer. Yeah.
Yeah. And then just to circle it back, that's kind of led to my whole career trajectory. Worked for the city of Tucson as well. That's where I initially met Kendra. And now, again, I'm working for Local First Arizona, and we're helping businesses learn how to be sustainable. And a huge part of that for businesses is reducing their waste. And so it's come full circle, and I know we'll get to talk more about that.
So what, in your opinion, is, since you have done it, and I can share a little bit about what some of my challenges are, but there's really a difference between zero waste and low waste. And I am definitely on the low waste spectrum. I can't imagine ever living a zero waste life. And I've interviewed people that have done it. And, you know, one of them started a store in Brooklyn for zero waste lifestyle. I mean, it is really not easy once you're aware of how much you do waste. So for you, Claire, what is your idea of low waste living? Can you just give us some examples?
Yeah, well, I think when I say zero waste, I'm meaning low waste. I think zero waste is pretty unattainable, even though I got pretty close for a month. I mean, it was challenging. It was like socially challenging. Sometimes it was just hard. And I was still consuming things that were going into the recycling. So I would definitely say everything, unless you're like really, really going to go all in, I think everyone can get on the low waste train. It's all a spectrum of how much you want to do and how much you can do. I think there's a lot of privilege also affiliated with being able to do it. Like, I don't have a family. I have the ability to get to stores that sell things in bulk. Some of the bulk things are maybe more expensive than packaged things, which is ironic. It shouldn't be that way because you're essentially paying for packaging. But yeah, I think it's important for people to know that zero waste is not an all or nothing. It's definitely like a do what you can. And that's kind of what I've adjusted to. I definitely do throw things away still, but we try, like in my house, to have a really small trash can and just think about it more, think about it in terms of our purchasing and try not to, but it's all low waste.
And it's things like when I started on this journey, paper towels were an easy one because you can use rags. I mean, that's what I was, you know, we had a rag bag in our house, so you use, I don't think there's a better word for them than a rag, but we wipe things up with those instead of using three paper towels for a little spill on the floor. But then it comes to things like that just make my conscience, you know, bother me, or like Q-tips. And I try really hard because that is a waste. It's a high energy manufactured use item. And when I interviewed this woman, and I'll think of her name soon, I think her name was Laura Singer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. That Trash is for Tossers thing.
Yes. Trash. That was the name of the show that we did. And she used little squares that she would, and it was for, it's from eye makeup remover. Well, it's not a problem now because I've worn eye makeup twice in 4 months. In a COVID world, that got reduced. But, you know, and then here, just to add to it, we brought our SodaStream with us when we, you know, came to Taos. And we ran out of the cartridge, the CO2, and we bought fizzy water, and it felt terrible because it was waste. And with the SodaStream, there's no waste. So there's examples like that where in our family, it really does have an impact. So what's the problem with trash? And I just want to preface it with, you look around, especially in the West, there's an endless amount of space between Phoenix and Las Vegas, and there's space between Tucson and Phoenix. But there's something so inherently wrong with the amount of of waste that we do. So Claire, from your perspective, I want to know, how much do we throw away every day? And questions that you have, like, do people know where the landfill is? I do. I better, because I'm Mrs. Green. But talk a little bit about the problem with trash.
It's such a good question. I do think, you know, it is harder in the American West, where there is technically more space, than in places like California or the East Coast, where cities are denser, because land is more expensive. And so governments have an incentive to find alternatives. Whereas here, it's not that expensive to throw trash away. But when you get into the economics and estimate the monetary externality of the cost of having landfills, like the cost to groundwater or air quality, and things like that, it is more expensive. It's just not expensive in modern times. And maybe Kendra can talk about this too, but I know that, you know, landfills today are a lot better than landfills 50 years ago. So there's some differences there. But the example I like to start with is, like, you think about a hoarder, or you think about someone that, like, lives in a house with, like, lots of things. What's that show where they go in and, like,
it's called Hoarders.
Oh, it's called Hoarders.
It blows me away. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's kind of crazy. Like, you're like, wow, how could someone do this? This is wild. So odd. And I like to think of it almost from, like, an anthropological perspective, because technically we're all doing that. Because we all have that stuff. We've all generated all of that same stuff, pretty much. We just don't keep it in our house. We just throw it away. And most people don't really think about it after it goes, like, quote unquote, away. And so I think the big question is, what is away and where is away? Because, you know, even if you're burning trash, which is a whole separate issue, it's still, like, there's still piles and byproducts and gases that come. But for most of it, it's all still here. I mean, some of it's disintegrated to some capacity, but it doesn't disappear. All the things, like, you and I have ever thrown away, are most of it is still here on Earth, and we're still dealing with them.
That's what
they never go away. Plastics, like, never go away. So did I interrupt? Kendra, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah. Before I worked for the city, I just thought that. I mean, I didn't think about how much trash I was generating. I lived in an apartment complex, so it wasn't like I was, you know, setting my bin out for collection every week. I was just tossing it in a bin with everybody else, and it was just going away. But working for the city and seeing that, I mean, I think everybody should make a trip down to the landfill just to see how much trash is there. I mean, it's mountains of trash.
And when you have tours to the landfill, and we're always going to be talking about pre-COVID, during COVID, and post-COVID, but back in the day when you'd have bus tours of the landfill, they filled up weeks before, because people do have an innate curiosity about it. So that's a good idea. And now that there's not anywhere a lot of us can go, take a trip down to the landfill. So I kind of remember, don't we throw almost 5 pounds of trash away every day in every individual? I don't. I cross my heart and hope to die. I do not create almost 5 pounds of trash. But Claire or Kendra, how much does the average American generate?
So that's a lowball estimate. That was from the EPA in, like, 2015, not including recycling, not including trash that is on the streets and maybe ends up in the ocean. And I know there have been other estimates around, like, 7 pounds every day. And again, that's an average. And that's an average for individuals, whereas, like, businesses, factories, corporations throw out a lot more than that. So that's true. And it's technically 4.4 pounds to landfill every day, which puts us on track to have a trash legacy of 63 tons of trash over the course of our lifetimes.
Just
context,
think about that. Like, seriously, close your eyes and think of that. Give us some context, Claire.
a small car weighs about a ton. So you're thinking that each individual is on track to generate 63 tons. So that's like 63 small cars of trash.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a lot.
Just at the landfill last year, we collected 748,000 tons just in 1 year.
Oh my God. So how long until the Los Reales landfill is filled?
Well,
I mean, with that level?
Yeah, we're permitted.
It's going to be a while, but still, it's not that long in the history of the planet.
Right. We're permitted for 70 more years. That's 70. But who knows with the rate that we're going, especially with COVID, it seems like.
I know. A lot more waste.
Filling up faster.
A lot more waste. And landfills, you know, they are better, but they did have a history of toxicity, methane, hydrogen sulfide. I mean, when you cover them up, you see what happens when they start, you know, it starts like erupting a little bit. But it's just all over not great, which leads me to the next question. And Claire, if you'll take this, I have plenty of questions for Kendra. But why, when people so proudly say to me, but I recycle, I'm so good, my recycling bin is full, and I want to encourage that, so I smile, but inside I'm thinking what I really want to say to them, the first R is reduce. So it would be good if you had a small garbage can and a small recycling amount. So why is it not so much better to recycle?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's a hard conversation to have because I think a lot of people have come to age and live their adult lives thinking that or learning that from people in power that recycling is the answer. And in theory, like, it sounds good, but in practice, you know, it's actually a really fascinating history, and I can share some really good podcasts or articles on this. But recycling initially came to be in the 1950s or 1960s, something like that, not that long ago. And it came to be because plastic, single-use plastics, really only came into existence in the 1950s.
Right.
Again, not that long ago. So when you think about how crazy it is to live a near-zero-waste existence, it's also almost crazier to realize that that was the default prior to 60, 70 years, probably more like 70 years ago at this point.
Right, right.
And when single-use plastics boomed, there was a lot of litter, and there was a backlash against litter. There were a lot of people that were really concerned about it. And so the plastics industry got together and through a long, convoluted history actually founded, I'm going to forget the name, America the Beautiful, or one of the big organizations that basically created the recycling campaign and funded most of the first municipal recycling programs.
Okay.
And so it was a way for these corporations to be able to continue to produce plastics. And really putting the onus on individuals to say, like, hey, if there's litter, it's because you're not recycling correctly. And that's, it's true because, you know, when you see people not recycling correctly, you're like, hey, you know, you're doing something bad. When sometimes I like to think about, well, like, I mean, I kind of feel the same way when I see people not recycling, but then I also more often think, like, dang, these corporations, like, just, you know, it's this confusing messaging, and they made it confusing, kind of what Kendra was saying with, like, it's just different everywhere. And I know we'll get into that, but I think especially right now with recycling, until last year, for the past, I don't know how many years, maybe a decade or two, we were initially, when recycling started, it was better than it was recently. So you'd recycle everything separately. You recycle plastics, paper, metals, all in separate little bins. And there were paper mills everywhere and a lot of local recycling. But as the world became more globalized, we started sending all of our, or the vast majority of recycling to other countries. And in the U.S., in the last over the last two decades, about 60% of our recycling was sent to China. About like 4,000 shipping containers of recycling trash every day.
Oh, my God. Unreal.
And that's crazy. And a lot of it wasn't recycled in China. And a lot of it, you know, polluted Chinese communities. And I think that's just all part of the away. There was no education or no public knowledge really about what was happening to the recycling.
And the movie you can watch about that, there's a whole movie about the plastic city in China, and it makes you sick. I mean, I think I saw it at a film festival, but when you see how massive the problem is, and you're right, for us, it was just away. Where is it? Well, it went away. It went away on a ship. So that's the end of the story. The other part I wanted to highlight, and I say this a lot to people when they're talking about like a plastic bottle, and I know both of you are aware of this. It's great if you recycle your plastic water bottle, but it would be so great to not ever buy it, because there's this carbon footprint of, you know, the petroleum byproduct that has to be mined that's put in the plastic bottles, the incredible intense use of water, the manufacture of it, using paper and clip, you know, the caps, and then it has to be packaged to ship, and then it has to be shipped. And then it has to be purchased, and then it has to be recycled. That's, if you go through the cost of that, it's exorbitant. And if you get reusable bottles, you don't have to buy them. Mm-hmm. You can just use reusable bottles. So you don't have to buy them anymore. So it's a great budget item. So, okay, what about from a money perspective? There were all these companies that were recycling companies, making lots of money. So does anybody have a sense for where they are? I've read not recently how it's resulted in a loss of jobs because China stopped taking our garbage, basically, is what we were sending them, e-waste and plastic waste. So does anybody have a sense for the economic impact of not being as recycling friendly as we can be because there's no place for us to recycle it? Anybody want to take that one?
I can take it.
Go, Claire.
And then Kendra, feel free to jump in with if there's specifics from the city. But I know in Tucson, about 30% of recycling was contaminated, essentially, or trash. And so it's interesting you brought up that documentary, because it was actually almost as a result of that documentary that China put in their ban on U.S. recycled trash, or recycling technically trash.
Right.
And I think because it got so much attention and they didn't want to be an embarrassment. And so
it was awful.
Yeah. And they didn't ban it altogether. They just said, we won't accept it unless it has 0.5% or less contamination. And again, like most cities, we're around 30% contamination, so it would be extremely difficult to get it down.
I can't even imagine. People don't even know what to do in Tucson when there's instructions all over the place, and they put filthy pizza boxes that have grease all over them in the recycling.
Oh, and so, dead animals, everything.
I know. Those are some of the worst stories I've ever heard. So, Claire, are you complete with that? Because I want to ask Kendra the next question about, why does the city want residents to reduce waste? I think that's important. There's plenty of room for 70 years, but why do you? Unless, Claire, there's anything else you wanted to add about the plastic industry or the cost?
No, go on.
Okay. So, Kendra, you said in the beginning that the city does want residents to reduce waste, which is a great message. Why? What's the motivation behind that other than how obviously good for the planet it is?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the answer. I mean, we want Tucson to become more sustainable. And part of that, you know, is reducing our waste and making sure that the resources we have are used responsibly. And, you know, recycling, it does cost money. And just to touch on what Claire was talking about last too, we are at 30% contamination for our recycling. And we pay, our bill just for that contamination every month is about $300,000 just for that contamination. So yeah, so of course we want people to buy less and we want our landfill to last longer. And of course, I don't think we'll be around for 70 years, but we want it to last as long as possible.
Guaranteed I won't, guys. But let's hope and I'm not around. I'll be 140. So wow. Let's skip right past that one. Okay, but that's a great message and true to me, thought leadership on the part of a government entity. And there's a lot of examples of that from the city of Tucson, because if we reduce waste, everybody wins. And to your point, $300,000, folks, that's taxpayers' money and money that is gotten from grants. It's money that we could use for other things instead of cleaning up people's messes because they don't know how to read a recycling message and what you can use. And I'm sorry if I found judgy or passionate, but if people paid attention, we all win. And maybe gently coach somebody else that you see is, you know, approachable about reducing waste. So Kendra, can you speak to, and we touched on a little bit about, it's really not just about recycling. It's about reducing and reusing. What are some examples? We know why we should reduce. What about reuse? What are some examples that you could share with us that are relevant and easy for people to adopt as a new habit?
Yeah. So personally, I used to, when I would get a box or, you know, when I would go get takeout and get a plastic container, it would just go in the trash. I wouldn't think anything about it. But instead of, you know, it's better to just keep it local, use it as long as you can, use it as much as you can, really. So think about like arts and crafts, get creative. Think about, you know, instead of tossing a glass container in the recycling bin, think about how you can use it to store something or maybe turn it into a candle or something like that. There's a lot of different things you can do. And with everything that you buy or that you receive, think about how can I, you know, I already have this, it's already in my home, but how can I turn this into something else?
And those are good examples. And one of the ones that was the biggest shift for me, I mean, we just put everything in baggies, just stored everything in baggies. Then I found out why that's bad for your health, because it can leach chemicals onto your food, and in fact does. And then we slowly started changing over to glass containers. Mason jars, we got them at secondhand stores. There's a great package you can get at Costco, and I'm giving them a shout out because it's inexpensive and it's all glass containers. So in our everyday use, that was an easy morph for me. We morphed from plastic bags. So now, you know, I'm the person nobody wants to have to their dinner party. When I go and people are like just handing out plastic bags for leftovers, I get a little shaky. Sometimes I open my mouth and sometimes I don't. But there are obvious things that are not painful. And again, I want to point out the economic value of that, because we only have to buy those glass containers once. None of them have broken, and it's a good way to start on the path of what I call waste consciousness. It's great. And sadly, you both mentioned it with COVID, you know, bringing your reusable container back to your favorite coffee shop. And all of those things just help incredibly if we all do them. Mm-hmm. So anybody want to add a little hint they have? Claire, do you want to add anything that's low-hanging fruit for reducing waste?
Sure. One thing, Kendra and I actually had this conversation a few days ago, but when I first tried to go zero waste or reduce my waste, I looked in my trash and realized I was throwing out a lot of hummus containers, like small hummus containers, and kombucha bottles. So I started making my own hummus and making my own kombucha, which are both money and actually aren't that time-consuming if you make big batches. But I think some, like, those are random and really personal to me examples, but I think it's, you know, everyone could essentially just assess, in terms of food for me ended up being, like, a big thing that I could reduce in terms of packaging. And so thinking about like foods you can make as well.
Good idea. Really good idea.
Yeah. Another thing to add to that, Amazon, we love Amazon and trying to reduce that. I mean, anything that we buy online comes in so many different packages. I've seen like HelloFresh or, you know, one of those meal subscription services. they're great and they're, you know, they make for a nice date night and an easy meal, but each item is packaged in a separate plastic bag and it kills me. All of these, you know, just ordering from online, you know, cut back on those Amazon purchases, buy local.
Number one, I feel like I used to have a bell. I have a bell in my studio in Tucson. It's like, yes, and really and truly, your bookstores, they will get the book for you. And there's so many local grocery stores that are now doing delivery. And just try to, I do anything to avoid buying something on Amazon. And a lot of it has to do with the packaging. And I want to support locally owned businesses. That's my number one motivation. So I knew this was going to happen because I know the three of you, the three of us together. Sorry, there's only two of you. So what do we want to focus on next? Because we're close to what should be an acceptable podcast time. And I'm okay with going through everything that I want to ask, or if there's some highlights, like one of the ones, Kendra, I would like you to talk about is an easy step for doing a visual or physical waste audit. How do you do that?
Right. Yeah. You just, I mean, simply look in your trash. I it depends on, I guess, what kind of bin you have. But yeah, look at what Claire said. If you're using, you see a ton of hummus containers and you don't even realize how much you're going through. Think of a way, maybe even just one simple thing that you're throwing away a lot. Like, you know, maybe it's those ear cleaners, those swabs, those Q-tips. You know, there's a reusable version of that. And I would also recommend going to, there's a local zero waste store called Cero. Going through their, you know, a local low waste store and just seeing what kinds of things they offer, that helped me personally. So like they offer steel razors, for example, instead of those plastic razors that we shave our legs with.
Wow.
All good reusable straws, bottles, bags. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can look and say, that's a good idea.
So those are really great tips and ones that don't hurt. They are not painful. They are ones that we can do and make some changes. And collectively, we do a great thing for the planet and for our budgets. It's just a win-win-win. So Claire, can you take it a little bit to the macro level? Because there's the individual, then there's, you know, government and businesses. And I have been so privileged to be a part of the Scale Up program that Local First has really taken the lead on and organized, that businesses are participating in. And one of the best presentations so far to me, they've all been outstanding, but it is on waste. So can you talk about a little bit about, in the time that we should have left, about what government and companies can do?
Yeah, it's a great question because I guess on an individual level, low waste living and specifically or buying things from local companies is a way to take back power and really vote with your dollar and be part of this movement. And from a business perspective, local businesses are by their nature, whether or not they're doing anything sustainable, they are more sustainable than corporations because they are operating and living in the place that they're working. I guess maybe I shouldn't make that blanket statement, but in general.
But it's true.
It is true because owners of local shops, they live in the community. They send their kids to school in the community. They drink the water in the community. They pay their employees who live in the community. And so they're more invested in the community and they're more invested in the well-being of the community and the resilience of the community. So I think, you know, in Tucson, we worry about drought and extreme heat, and businesses want to stay in business. And for that to happen, they need people who want to live and travel to Tucson. And so I think there's that big picture. But also businesses just want to be, in general, local businesses want to be good community partners. So we have this Southern Arizona Green Business Leaders Program, which is a green business certification for local and non-local businesses. In the few months that we've had it open, we've had so many local businesses join. Despite COVID, we launched it in May. Obviously not a good time.
Unreal.
Because businesses like are in the middle of it all. But we've had so many businesses that want to use this time to make improvements to their building, to reduce their waste, what we're talking about, to reduce the amount of water and energy they consume. And then we've had businesses that want to take it farther. So what you were saying with Scale Up, that's our second program. It's a in-depth 7-week sustainable project planning series, of which, of course, you know, Mrs. Green is the culture of sustainability presenter. So
love it.
That's super exciting and fun. And those businesses, I mean, and you can say this too, they're so enthusiastic and with it and care. And they're also like operating a business and trying to, you know, pay their employees and turn a profit, but they care. And so, I think supporting those businesses that are trying to be more sustainable, it's a win-win. Because businesses do produce a lot more and can do a lot more than really we can do on an individual basis.
And, you know, there's even things when you're talking about it, like I am on Nextdoor. I admit it. I love that app. I want to know what's going on in my neighborhood, especially if someone saw a bobcat. But someone put up a request for where they could get Roman shades, right? So I put up, I have a friend who owns a company called Roman Shades by Mara. She's locally owned. It's a woman-owned business. And someone put, well, I got mine at blinds.com. And it's not judgment on my part. It's an awareness of, and I put a very nice message on, I don't go to war on Nextdoor. I said, I'm sure that was wonderful, but everything we can do to support locally owned businesses has a positive impact in our community. And, you know, the woman was nice that I commented on, but if you can go have someone like Mara Robinson come to your house, if there's anything wrong, you can call her and she'll come back. And it's not the same. The experience for the consumer is not the same buying online as it is with locally owned businesses. So that's my 2 cents. Now, I want to issue a challenge, and you guys gave me the idea in the show notes. I don't ever want to take away anybody's idea. We have to remember there is no away. And the challenge to listeners is, take a look at what you did throw away today. At the end of the day, at the end of when you hear this podcast, take a look in your garbage can and see what's in there and how you can change it. And a funny story for me is I still use tissues, but my 2 daughters use handkerchiefs. So that is really, to me, a kudos to them. And I'm not, you know, I used to iron my dad's handkerchiefs, so I'm not sure if that's the post-traumatic stress. So I want to ask each of you to have the last word. What would you advise people as a small way to reduce some waste, something that they could start this week that's easily? So Kendra, do you want to go first? What would you say?
Yeah, so I'll say for something COVID-related. So a lot of grocery stores aren't letting you take your reusable bags into the store right now. I know Trader Joe's is where I shop and they aren't letting you. Instead, you can get your groceries, put them in the cart and take them out to your vehicle. And then
yes.
I know it's hot right now, but thankfully it's cooling off and we're in Arizona here. It's cooling off a little bit, but take those groceries and then put them into the bags in your vehicle. Just because you can't take them in the store doesn't mean you still have to use those plastic or brown bags.
Great one. And we're doing it. We're doing it. We went to Santa Fe to Trader Joe's and I just couldn't do it. And they don't give out plastic. They have only paper, but still. Okay, Claire, what's your big how you can reduce something this week?
If you buy, so many of them were taken up. I would say if you can choose to buy something in a store versus buying it online and getting it shipped, that's a huge one. And if you operate a business or order a lot of one thing, a lot, like let's say, you order a ton of, I don't know why I thought of this, toothbrushes for some strange reason, maybe you stock them in your store. You can always talk to the manufacturer who's ever sending them to you and ask them to ship it to you with less waste. And you can also, even if you're just buying one, send a note to the manufacturer or who the seller and just say, hey, it'd be great if you could send these with less packaging.
Really, really good ideas. Good ideas. And there's a way to get rid of junk mail, and you have to do it, and it's free. And I forget the name of the company, but I've done it numerous times, and we'll put that in the link. For the show notes, because Kelly will remember. I can't remember everything right offhand.
It's catalogchoice.org.
catalogchoice.org. Kendra, thank you. I think I might have been the one to tell you.
You told
and
me.
I love it. I did. Catalogchoice.org. So that's a really good one. And it's a pain. It takes a while because you have to sit there and unsubscribe. But just that is one step that you could commit to, especially during COVID times, to just get rid of your all these catalogs that you put in the recycling. So, okay, who wants to say something else? I hear a voice going,
I was just going to say, I think, like, and that's a great example, because the number one thing you can do even before reduce and reuse is refuse. So, like, refusing those freebies or the straws or the junk mail or the receipts or the individually wrapped snacks, all of that stuff.
I know, 4 R's. Refuse is the first one. It really is a great one to think about, it because that's the same mantra that I have, is we have to reduce our consumption, which is the root of all our problems. So if you guys don't have any last words, I do. I always do. You know me. And I want to thank you both. But before I do my regular reflection on the show today, which I love to do, I'm asking everybody to please consider becoming a patron of Mrs. Green's World, because we can always use your help. And I hope that you agree with us that we show up every day working to make a difference for our community, our country, and the planet. And we would be ever so grateful if you would consider becoming an MGW patron and join our movement. There will be a link in the show notes, and you are only one click away. So now about the show, because it matters oh so very much. The issues surrounding waste, our consumption, the waste stream, and the beat goes on, it's so massive for my brain that it's hard to even get my head around sometimes. And I'm not sure if I ever have. When you think of one home and times it millions and millions and millions and billions. And I admit it really gets me down at times. But what gives me hope, and I say this sincerely, is knowing and hanging around with people like Kendra and Claire, who are out there working relentlessly all the time. And believe me, I know them both personally, to educate people and businesses and people that are in their circle of influence. And, you know, sometimes I have to pinch myself because of the incredible people that I've met on this journey. And Claire and Kendra are absolutely two of them. And they know that. It's no surprise. I'm in both of their fan clubs. And it's very apparent that the clear and present danger of climate change is relentless. And if you don't think that, just turn on the TV and look at the wildfires or the hurricane, take your pick. And it will require extreme measures that call for all of us. It will demand of us to adapt and figure out ways to mitigate its impact. And overconsumption and the resultant waste stream created by that are a big part of what's going on with the challenges of climate change. So shows like this, work that Kendra and Claire and their organizations are doing, the partnerships that they continue to create and form, that's what gives me hope. And I have dark times. I have dark hours. But they give me hope that we have a chance, that we can't give up, and that we have to keep the pressure on all of us to know better, do better, advocate for better, because there's so much at stake if we don't. And you know where this is leading. Vote, vote, vote. Know what you're voting on, not just for president, not just for your Senate, in your municipalities, because a lot of decisions about climate change are made at the local level. And Tucson is a leader in that, with our mayor, Regina Romero. A climate emergency bill was passed. So vote, 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 because I will tell you, your future and our lives depend on it. There's so much at stake. So Claire and Kendra, I say this without hesitation. I don't tell a lot of people on the show that I love them, but I love you both. And I thank you for being in my life, for being great guests, and for all you do to make our community and our planet healthier, more sustainable, more livable, and for me, more fun. I appreciate all of it. And my final thanks always goes out to all of you, our wonderful, amazing listeners, because without you, there would be no us. So thanks for being a part of my world. And thanks you too. I really appreciate it. And I hope you had some fun.
You were so sweet.
Thank you so much. So much fun.
Thank you.
It was great. It's great. Now let's spread the word once this podcast is out and reduce that waste stream. So thanks everybody. And thanks to my buddy, Dave Labreck, who's there behind the scenes all the time. My show producer, Kelly. My whole entire team, I should thank them every time because teamwork makes the dream work. So thank you, everybody, and make it a great green, as waste-free day as you possibly can.